Kokomo, we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We have a crowded set here. We're at Coco's Pub in beautiful Lauraville, Maryland, right on Harford Road, right by Morgan State, right by Montebello, not Monticello. And I don't have Rasig with me today. Rasig is my co-host with a K. He is watching his grand twins. So in lieu of sports, I had Greg sit in and argue with me with the Orioles. Now we're going to move to the fun part of the program, the musical part
Greg
of the program.
Greg is fun. Come on.
All we did was fight, and he's going to be mad at me, especially if the Orioles lose. There are no losers when it comes to rock and roll, and that's why I love music, because it always sort of satisfies my soul. Lisa Matthews and I met when I was underage. I was a young man at the Marble Bar. The only time I think I ever walked into Marble Bar, Joyce Bucci, who was my art teacher, brought me out to cover her band, Beyond Words, George Condelis on the drums, Michael Gell, pretty good friend of Lisa's as well. And Lisa was this older woman for me, and beautiful and intimidating and very like, your band was like the Motels, according to George and you, the last time we got together. It was a female-led Cars is kind of how I would look at it in like the late 80s, sort of that era. And they recruited you?
We had like black hair, and even the guys wore the eyeliner.
You were trying to get on MTV. Yeah, basically. Everybody was trying to get on MTV.
New wavy. We had the synthesizers and the drum pads.
In My Dreams.
In My Dreams,
Yeah, that was
your
song.
You can still go. There's band camps with Beyond Words. We just put it on Spotify. You can go listen to Beyond Words if you're into the new wavy kind of sound. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I that was there, and I don't know whether Love Riot came before or after Milkshake. I'm not sure.
No, it's before.
No, Love Riot is before. Yeah, and what happened?
Love Riot was the next rock band for you after Beyond Words, right?
Yeah, so Michael Gale and I, guitarist Michael Gale and I, and Mark Ivanko, bass player for Beyond Words, right? We were in Beyond Words and just started feeling like we wanted something different. It was the 90s then, right?
And grunge had come.
Grunge was coming, and we just wanted something drastically different. We didn't know exactly what, but so we went drastically different. No drums, added a violin, Willem Elsevier on violin. So it was just a four-piece now. And it was a different sound.
What were you listening
acoustic to then? What was I listening to then?
Because that would influence what you're doing. By the way, Young Ron's here also from Love Riot.
Young Ron, who is the drummer now. Yeah. He came.
So I came later on,
You guys have brought me also. You brought cassettes. Brought me Love Riot cassettes. I have newsletters, which remind me of my nasty newsletter. Mm-hmm. I got Riot stuff. So, I mean, and this is 1996, 97.
I used to make these because we loved our fans. We still love our fans if they're still out there. We don't know.
I'm still here. I'm your fan.
That's right. So I would make these little newsletters and mail them out, bulk mail. And
I did the exact same thing in the same era. Oh, yeah. All of mine are dated 96, 97. I ran into the man, by the way, Lou Marzullo. I ran into him last night at the Italian event. He was my printer.
Yeah.
So he printed all my stuff at Junior Press in Towson.
Oh,
so I actually ran into the guy that printed my version. Just almost identical. It was like newsletters were a thing. This is how you had fans. And I will say this. Lisa's here and Young Ron's here from Love Riot. And they put the band back together. Who says you can't put the band back together?
That's right.
And you're doing a big thing later on in the month. But once a band girl, always a band girl, in that you came in, and instead of putting the signs up, the posters that you would do for the band, she pinned me. She's already promoting the band and said, you need a Love Riot pin so you can be a fan. Well, it's always good to see you.
You know what? Friends that come to our show at the Creative Alliance on November 21st, Friday, November 21st, doors open at 6:30, 7 p.m. show. If you bring a canned good for Maryland Food Bank and or used clothing or new clothing, gently used clothing, new clothing for Paul's Place, you will get a free button.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. I now owe her canned goods, I think, is what I do.
So I had to give her a canned good for the button. Canned goods. I had to give her.
He gave me a can of beans for that.
Well, Young Ron came up to me before I started. He's like, I'm a big sports fan.
I'm a sports guy,
I know who you are. And I'm like,
but what am I?
You're my old rock and roll friend that I had a crush on 40 years ago and still have a crush on. I love pretty girls that can sing.
Yeah.
I didn't like girls from New York back then so much, but you know, but you're like a Baltimorean now, right?
Always been a Baltimorean. From New York, but been here longer.
Well, the last time I had you on, it was you, Gina Schock, George, Michael came. We did it at Casa's about 3 years ago, Christmas time. It's been like 3 years we've got together.
Yeah, they had a tree and everything.
And I know I talked to you about Beyond Words, and George was telling me about Scratch and Sniff and Gina Schock, and it was all of this stuff. Love Riot and what it became. So Love Riot happened like kind of after Hammerjacks had closed, right? Kind of like part of the Hairspray thing had ended.
Yeah.
All the Cars music and all of that new wave stuff had gone away as well. Give me the origin of Love Riot and tell me about putting it back together all these years.
Okay.
Because I don't know when it ended. I know kind of it had started after Beyond Words. But I always, and I never got to tell you this because I didn't really know you so much at this point in my life. And I was doing sports stuff. I was Nasty Esther and Ravens were coming and like all that stuff. But I always thought Love Riot is like the greatest name for a band.
Yeah.
You know, like, you should have made it huge just because it's a great freaking name.
You're right. We should have made it huge.
Love Riot.
We did well, you know. It's interesting. Let me answer your question.
Okay.
Let me give you the quick story, okay?
Because I know the Beyond Words story, but I don't know the Love Riot story.
All right. This, 1993, right? And in fact, this is our first release, self-titled disc.
I want to put my fingers in the little holes of the cassette. Because I always love that feeling, to wind it up.
Right.
But the
drummer from Beyond Words was on a few of these songs. And some of these songs are Beyond Words songs. That it was like a transitional thing, right? And we were kind of more melodic and Love Riot, true to our name. We were writing songs about love, and love can be all kinds of different dimensions.
Oh, it can be
right?
a riot, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it can be horrible and heartbreaking and amazing and thrilling and passionate. And so we wrote love songs. And from this cassette, do you mind if I take it from your
It's not an 8-track, it's a cassette.
Your little
Let me get my finger out of the hole.
It's stuck.
I don't have anything to play.
So Michael says, he sees this thing one day, this ad for a thing, Yamaha sponsors this worldwide competition called Music Quest, right? And we had this cassette, and on this cassette is a song called Killing Time, right? And so we entered this, we used songs from this cassette to enter this contest, and They like us enough. They send a guy to come look for us. We make the semifinals, which is national. They send us to the House of Blues in L.A.
But you weren't signed at that point, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're not signed at all. And so we go to the House of Blues in L.A., perform four songs.
Right on the strip there, baby.
And we win that. We win that. And then they send us to Japan to represent the U.S. of A. in this worldwide competition. And we only get one song. There were like 16, 17 bands that competed from all over the world.
You got a lot of media
Germany,
on that at the time, didn't you? You were on television here locally, in the paper. I remember that was a neat thing.
I wasn't in the band yet.
I've forgotten about that. I know, poor Ron.
I'm glad you gave me the story.
They always tell me about, hey, remember in Japan when we... every time we're on tour or whatever, they say, hey, remember in Japan?
And you barely eat sushi.
No. So, well, Mark loved that you could buy beer from these vending machines on the sidewalk. It was amazing.
You didn't love that. I love Japan.
We love that, right? Japan's cool. So we took the money that we made from that contest, and we reinvested it in recording Muscle with Eric Roskell Amble, who's a really amazing... musician in his own right.
Put my fingers in the holes.
Yeah,
of this
try that.
Too.
Make
yeah,
sure.
See if that
make
feels
sure
the right
fingers
way.
Work. Mm-hmm. So Muscle was still acoustic, but then we started adding some percussion, and we said, "Hey, we like that percussion."
I just like
sound.
The old pictures of Elise. You know,
and,
look at that there.
And then
you
and
guys
then
were such art farts.
I painted this.
You're an artist. You should be playing at the Creative Arts Alliance, right?
Well, yes. Let me fart. Okay.
Oh,
so
fart.
Anyway, listen. So then we liked the percussion sound on that, and we said, let's add drums, you know. And Young Ron.
That's how I got in.
Came in.
So when did you enter the band?
After.
What year?
I came in 1994. We did shows together. We were in different bands that were playing shows together. I was in a band called The Last Picture Show when they were Beyond
Words.
I remember that last picture show. Sure.
So we were kind of doing all the Lou Maestro, right?
Mm-hmm.
Writing songs. And we did originals. So we had that bond of like, we're original bands because they have a kind of a different clique than the cover band, you know.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and yeah, so I would book the band. I was a fan of Love Riot for while they were in Japan. I was, you know, I had my Love Riot pom poms.
Did you get a pin?
Yeah, I got a pin. Yeah. So I was a huge fan, and when an opportunity came up and they asked, you know, hey, you want to play some drums? I was like, I really want to play some drums for this band. So,
and so, yeah. Moving on, there you are.
Yeah.
Then we
That's
got...
That's not a cassette.
No.
That's a CD. Moved,
yeah. We moved into, I don't know, high technology, right?
Another medium. Right?
So maybe she will happen.
Digitized.
And this was on a small indie label out in California. And
I play with it. I like playing with things.
Yeah, yeah. So... That was Maybe She Will, and
rock
again,
and roll isn't just kid stuff. It can be brash and boisterous, sure, but can also be smart, subtle, and sophisticated, like Love Riot.
Yes.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's
thank
good.
You.
Yeah.
That's
I
really
should do
cool.
that more in my professional yeah. term. Yes.
Yeah.
Like an advertisement, yeah.
So this was a great release, again, produced by Roscoe and Eric Gamble and Roscoe.
Oh, this is J.D. Considine who wrote that.
Yeah, he wrote
I can do that in J.D.'s voice.
Oh, oh. You can? Let's hear it.
No, I don't want to do J.D. Okay. J.D. be mad at me. J.D. never liked me.
He's up in Toronto now.
I hope he's well.
He is well.
He's a great writer.
He's got two kids.
Well, he wrote for the Morning Sun. I wrote for the Evening Sun.
So. There you go.
And he was cultured, sophisticated, smart, Hopkins educated. I was a punk from Dundalk. You know, I was like the Aerosmiths, like punk in the streets. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was just, you know, I was the last child. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but J.D. was like J.D. Considine.
Right.
Like Cameron Crowe. I was more like, you know, some knucklehead, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He was legit, though. I mean, he was Rolling Stone. J.D.
Yeah.
So J.D. wrote that. Oh,
he was a
nice
big
of
fan
you.
Of us early on. And
you know what? That sounds about right, because he had good taste.
Aww.
You see that? He did. He had good
Thank
taste.
You.
J.D. did.
So
J.D.'s tastes were above Poison and Rat and Slaughter. You know what I mean?
Where
I fit more into that,
into
you know?
Right. You were on the night shift, and he was the day.
Yeah, J.D. would have been more into Mumford & Sons and more into, you know, Radiohead than I would have been at the time. That's all.
Elvis Costello.
He's a big fan of Japanese stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
So this started getting us some radio airplay, and we started relentlessly touring. And one night, I was at a party with this guy.
Hold on, they got pictures? Yeah, you know, I love your show and tell. This is like an
like
interactive.
Show and tell.
Lisa's here. By the way, Love Riot, folks, we're Young Ron's here. Lisa's here if you're listening out on the radio. This looks like it's in a subway. Is this in a subway?
Well, it's on the set of Homicide, Life on the Street. And James Yoshimura, the guy in the center, he was a writer. And I met him at a party, and he was looking for music. And he loved our
in
music.
Homicide. In Homicide.
And so he actually wrote us into the subway
There's
episode.
David Simon.
Yeah.
My former co-worker.
Yeah, there you
David
go.
Simon's in these pictures. Dal Simon doing
well,
in there?
He was hanging out. We were playing the blues while we were waiting to do our lines. Yeah, right, no. Young Ron?
Oh, my! I had a line.
Did he write you guys into the wire or anything or no?
No,
he didn't do that. But look, Simon's in here. Look at that.
Yeah. So what was the song we did on that set? Did you ever see that episode with Vincent D'Onofrio as...
I did not.
The subway episode.
You have to see. It's the best episode. It is thrilling.
Homicide. You're
Homicide,
talking
about. Life on the Street. You can stream it on Paramount right now. And it's a great episode. Vincent D'Onofrio, right? He gets pushed onto an oncoming train. Right, it's called the subway, and we were actually at the. We don't have a subway here in Baltimore, so
well,
we were at the light rail.
They did have a subway.
This was the underground light rail.
Well, I see Michael Gellin back there, and see when I think of Simon, to be really honest, people ask me about Simon. I work with him at the Sun, from '86 to '90. That's what he looked like. It's exactly what he looked like.
Right
That's
there.
David Simon, right there.
Right
That's
there.
Him, right there.
Right there.
So you got your music placed in Homicide, and that was obviously a big deal.
The song that they wanted was a song called. Killing Time.
Killing Time.
And that's
featured
the song.
Featured in the NBC TV show Homicide, Life on the Street.
And that's the song that we won in Japan. That song has been like crazy good to us. It's
you going to play it at the Patterson?
Yes.
Oh, no. Of course we'll have to.
Well,
riddle me this. Putting the band back together is like a, you know, that's an expression, right? Putting the band back together. Give me that metamorphosis, because I think 3 years ago, I had Lisa on the show. We were being wistful about Beyond Words. I was trying to educate people about Scratch and Sniff, and your drummer, who was not the drummer in Gina Shock's band because she was the drummer. We're going back to John Waters, and we're going back to like the late 70s in punk, and then the Go-Go's happened in 81, and then George was here, and you were in a band with a guy who used to be in a band with the girl from the Go-Go's, and they're the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
And then you wind up on this TV thing. What ended Love Riot, and what has brought it back together?
Okay. I'm going to go quickly. Let's fast forward through like 24 years of Milkshake, a very successful band for kids. And that's a genre most people don't even, like, we were not even included in that special, you know, Baltimore bands thing, because people don't think kindy music is a thing. But we were like, it was like this huge bell curve. We were, Milkshake was on Nick Jr., and we were on, first we were on Noggin, Nick Jr., PBS Kids, Discovery Kids when it was around.
A real national act.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. Yeah. We were on Kid TV, which propelled us to national touring and Mexico, and it was amazing. Green Rooms, it was like huge. And so here we are, this off the grid for most people, but on the grid if you're a parent, right, with kids. And
I don't know anybody with kids that doesn't
young.
Know about Milkshake.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, I mean, no offense to Love Riot, yeah. either one of you, or any of these incredible accomplishments are beyond words, which is how I know of you and think of you. I still hear you singing in my dreams, quite frankly, on the 45.
Milkshake got a Grammy nomination for one of our records. But the thing is, it was very successful. And our kids, Michael and my kids, grew up in the band. We would take them on the road with us. They would be like, you know, in the green room playing, and they got to see a lot of America that way. I love that. But one day I'm driving with Jesse, who is now 25, right? And I had just digitized all the Love Riot stuff and put it up on Spotify and Apple Music and all those platforms. And so I called up, you want to hear my old band, Love Riot? And sure,
this
Mom.
Is your daughter.
My daughter.
And she doesn't know Love Riot well at all?
No.
She was born after we broke up.
And where would she hear it? You're not playing it in the house. No. She's not hearing it on the radio. It's just my mom's old band, her cool rock band in the 90s.
So, yeah. And anyway, we're driving and she's like, Mom, this is like really good. I said, yeah, it does sound good, doesn't it? And I'm like, you know, she says, Mom, I would come and see this band. I said, yeah, you would? She goes, yeah, you've got to get this band back together. And so I reached out.
How long ago was this?
This was like last year, right? Yeah. Last year, like late last year. We've been woodshedding and learning our old stuff and writing new songs for the past like 7 or 8 months, right?
Look at how excited you are about this.
I am excited, you know. And so now she can't see me at the show. But she can't. She's in San Francisco now. She just got a promotion. But you can virtual live stream. Friends that aren't here anymore can still see us that night.
I got to get my calendar out. Young Rob, when is this gig?
It's November 21st.
Thank you.
Friday, November 21st, 7 to 9. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost sold out, so get your tickets. Yeah. I know.
Well, the virtual thing is still never, I don't think that could sell
out. I got to plug a sponsor here. Are you okay with this?
Yeah, please.
All right. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We have Raven Scratch-Offs. By the way, I'm going to give you guys some Raven Scratch-Offs right now as well.
Yay.
So I'm also sponsored, and I shouldn't say this too loud during the lunch hour here at Coco's, but I'm also sponsored by GBMC. I have a really important engagement in the morning of November 21st.
Is it medical?
Yeah. I'm a 57-year-old male who has never had a colonoscopy.
Oh, no.
I've heard about the number and I've had dozens.
Can't you do the box?
I've done dozens of segments with men who've survived it. You know, obviously it's a very important thing. But as a spokesperson for GBMC at this point, and they are my doctor of record, I'm going to be drinking a special milkshake on Thursday night. Not your kind of milkshake.
No.
And everyone has warned me about this. But I've also heard that it's a really nice sleep that I'm going to have on Friday the 21st in the morning around 7:20. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wake up from this sleep and apparently have a very nice day. And I don't know that I can make it to Patterson that night. So
I don't know.
I don't know.
You could just live stream it.
I don't know what I'm expecting.
You could sit in your bed and live stream.
So I want to tell you that I'm coming. Because I would come down to Highland Town. I'd go over to Chaucer, over to Matthews. I love, that's my
beautiful,
I took my first guitar lessons right across the street at Jaeger's Music up on the second floor.
Jaeger's.
1975. Oh, yeah. I got my first guitar. Went, you know, I still don't know how to play it. But the Patterson is, I mean, I saw Jaws there. I saw, you know, Stir Crazy there. I saw all the good flicks there, you know. So Patterson Arts is, so how did you hook up with them? You're artsy to begin with. Why are you playing there? Tell me.
Well, because a fan reached out and said, hey, I work at the Creative Alliance. Do you want to play here? I'm like, okay.
It's a nice venue. We were supposed to be like a concert setup.
People are just reaching out to us. Do you want to play?
Well, if you don't see me on Friday the 21st, I'm at the mercy of my friends at GBMC and this medical procedure that I'm having that day. But for your fans and for people coming out, when is the last time you performed as Love Riot where anybody in Baltimore would
Fletcher's. Yeah.
So you never did a reunion, a one-off, a five-year, it was done, it was
Fletcher's.
Done.
Fletcher's, yeah.
What Fletcher's. Year would that have been?
1999. It was December. It was our Christmas show.
Oh, yeah, Christmas.
Christmas
show. So you guys haven't played together in 26 years.
And when we first got back to go to rehearse, you know, like we're all like almost, I think I was a little nervous. We were all a little nervous about like, what's this going to be, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's just 2, 3, 4, we started playing the song and it was like.
Like riding a bike.
Yeah, it was like riding a bike. It was beautiful.
It felt so comfortable. It was like I was right back with my brothers. Yeah. I had to relearn how to sing the way I used to sing. And it was shocking to me. And I also had to relearn guitar because I didn't
different
play
singing for kids.
Guitar.
Just a different.
It's a more topical and it's not difficult. It's not all embellished. And I listened to my old stuff, and I'm like, oh boy, I don't even know if I could hit that note anymore. You know, but pretty
you
much it's pretty
good.
Much there yeah, now. Yeah, but it's been
so is this
an
one gig
growth.
Or is there?
We're gonna play. We're gonna do stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we have We're gonna keep going. Like we have the new record coming out next year called Better Now, and it's gonna be great. We've been recording new songs.
I'll be better after the 21st in the morning.
Yeah.
All cleared out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just want to know if this is a one-time gig.
Oh, no,
I'll have other chances to come
see
you.
Okay. We're also at the. Encore Collective, February.
That's a great room.
February 13th.
All right, so you're already booking more gigs.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Eve, so that's a big night for us. And it might be a record release. I don't know. We'll see.
My wife's always like, let's get a room down at Columbia.
Yay,
and go crazy
do it.
On the water.
Do it. You're on the guest list. You know.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Man, Love Riot was a part of my youth. In my early 20s. Some other folks, maybe a little younger, a little older, but they're putting the band back together. Killing Time, if you're familiar with Homicide Life on the Street, if you know Lisa's work through Milkshake and Michael and those guys, as well as Beyond Words back in the day. You have brought me a whole travelogue here to Coco's today.
I did.
You also brought me you have a little postcard.
Yeah.
Hold on, what's the
postcard?
Oh,
that's the way we look now.
Sophisticated, elegant.
I made them dress up.
All aged well. It's been a while. An Evening with Love Riot. There it is right
See?
There.
There it is.
There it is. Look at that. By the way, and I can even go QR code. That's how modern we are here.
LoveRiotBand.com.
You are a real
Love
artist,
Riot
aren't
Band.
You?
I don't know. I guess. I don't know. Yes.
Young Ron, have you had anybody like Lisa in your time?
She's doing it all. She's a lifer in this stuff. You know, that's great.
I think I'm just a creative force. That's all, you know.
Well, I'm glad to have your force within us.
Thank
here
you.
Today.
Oh, I want to tell you one more thing before we go.
We don't have to go. I'm having. Well, if we want to eat a crab cake, we
No.
Young Ron and I are going to fix the Orioles and the Ravens here before you.
Oh, leave. Good. You got to fix them. You need
who's
that
need
guy?
Ohtani.
Ohtani. You need.
He's
to
a good
get
baseball
Ohtani.
Player.
Yeah,
we need to
he
get
would
him.
Look good in
At least I know
orange.
About sports.
He'd look good in orange.
You were never sporty. You were always rocking. You said one other thing. You wanted to tell me about this.
Yeah. So listen, for that new record, Better Now, we got the recording just about done. But we need to mix, master, and manufacture. We're going to do vinyl. And we'd love to do vinyl of Heaven Can Wait and this one, right? We'd love to do vinyl of that.
I don't have a record player. I'm not going to lie to you, man.
Yeah. Okay, you can keep that
I'm
one.
I'm not a Spotify guy. You know, this would speak to what kind of music fan I am. I love music. I travel the world seeing music. I love music. But... this is not a music device. This is I still call it a phone. Yeah. It is a device. It's the way I communicate. This, I do not enjoy music when it comes from this because it gets interrupted by other things.
Yeah.
So whereas my wife will be like an Apple Music and I'll say, I don't know, put that John Mayer album I like on and just play it.
You know, through the,
when I am tethered to A, cables, because I like cables better than Wi-Fi, which lets me down from time to time. Even let down the point of sale when Amazon went down 2 weeks ago in a lot of businesses.
Right.
But I have an iPod, and it has a mini jack on it, and has a cord, and I have my speaker, my little Bose, has a mini jack on it, and I am the nerd that still carries 2001 technology everywhere I go. It's my little binky. I have a classic.
The little one. Yeah.
I bought it for $220 online like 3 years ago at Christmas time. I said to my wife, I'm like, look, it might only last a month. It might last 3 years. I'll get another one. I've just decided that my life, my music, my hard drive is on an Apple computer and an MP3, and that's the way I want. So these CDs, I will take these. I will load them onto my MP3. I will load them onto my iPod like I have for music of your era, like Tommy Cromwell and the Young Rumblers, right? Other local regional bands that you're not going to find their stuff on Spotify or Apple.
Well, you can find us.
You can?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, everywhere.
Still not getting it.
Okay.
Still going to put it onto my iPod is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Because that's who I am. Right.
There you go. I like the idea of an album, a statement. You know, this is an album. Heaven Can Wait.
Well, I always like to read the liner notes and see how pretty you look and see what J.D. Considine wrote about you. I'm a liner notes guy. So
pictures of us in there.
Yeah.
So,
I got the words here,
So I'm hoping with this Kickstarter campaign that we're going to launch to finish mixing, mastering, and manufacturing, that any leftover money after we finished Better Now, we can actually manufacture vinyl for Maybe She Will and Heaven Can Wait. I know you're not a vinyl person, but there are friends out there that are vinyl.
Audiophile snobs.
My husband has 4,000 records.
I can't hear the high end. I can't hear the high end.
Well, there's something wonderful. Again, it's a statement.
They're just heavy for me at this point in my life. Carrying them is the issue.
Oh,
for me.
They're heavy. Oh, yeah.
Albums are heavy.
Yeah.
Books are heavy. I love books, but when it comes to traveling with one bag to the Caribbean for a couple days, a book's like 50% of what I'm taking.
The iPod is great.
You gotta have something small.
Yeah.
I gotta do it that way.
That's right.
All original members still alive
and
well?
Yes.
So I can read this off here. Lisa Matthews, Ron Campbell, Young Ron. Where's Michael? Where's he?
He's around.
I miss him. Tell him I said hello.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still.
I've known him about as long
here.
As I've known you and George and the rest of the guys.
Yeah, he couldn't come today.
William and Mark also in the band. And they'll be with us at Patterson on the 21st, as well as Collective Encore on February 13th.
That's right.
Kickstarter album. Am I missing? Did I leave anything out?
No,
did I get it all in?
Kickstarter, Creative Alliance, the new album. And we are so glad to be back playing music. It is gratifying beyond belief. It's so fun. Exciting. But you know what? I do find that the songs that we're writing now, like some songs from the past, just didn't make sense for me as an older person to sing them, an older woman to sing. I'm not going to sing this song or that song. Or some songs, like Satisfied, they're too sappy. I'm not there anymore, you know? I'm not going to sing that song.
We have some fans that aren't happy about that.
I know. Yeah. They're like, ooh, you got to do that. But no. And some of the songs that we're with, like one song is, all right, it's about climate change, you know, and another, not your face, you know, I'm not that kind of writer, but, you know, the song, a little bit political, a little bit, but.
Climate change is in your face when hurricanes are taking out Jamaica last week,
But it's not all love songs, you know, or maybe it's a love of something else.
Why
you know?
Love Riot? How did that become the name of the band? It's such a great name.
Yeah. I don't remember, actually.
You don't really remember?
Let's make up a story. Why Love Riot? It seemed to make sense with what we were going to be doing. Love songs and
coming up with the name of the band is really hard to do and come up with a good name.
Sometimes the luck of the draw.
Do you remember what finished second place or no? No?
What?
What was second place?
No.
If it wasn't Love Riot, you don't have another name.
No.
Like Pearl Jam was Mookie Blaylock.
Maybe, yeah.
Right? I mean, did you know that?
No, I didn't know their
original name was Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah.
So when I saw Pearl Jam in Atlanta, of course, Jeff Ament put on a Mookie Blaylock Atlanta Hawks jersey.
Nice.
So that was like a nod to what the name of their band could have been. So that's all. I didn't know.
That's cool. Maybe Mom's Diner, open 24 hours.
Now, so your daughter listening to your music, what other feedback did she give you from a young person's take on what was modern in the 90s and your sound? Who would you compare your sound to? If somebody's listening to us right now, say, what was Love Riot like? Who were your comparables?
You said Japanese Breakfast. Comparable nowadays.
With a female voice, you would be compared to probably a lot of the Lilith Fair artists in some weird way. Alanis Morissette broke big in that period of time when your band was out. You weren't like her, but it was a woman-led band of pop.
And she was and remains one of my heroes, Alanis and Sheryl Crow, Pretenders. All those great
Chrissy
singers, So
we did the Lilith Fair in Baltimore. So great.
That was fun.
We had access to the backstage, and we could just go back there and stand next to whoever and just start a conversation. It was really neat. It was a fun day.
And it's different now because back then we had lots of time to look forward to, lots of plans to make, and now in our older entities. It's like every show is a gift. I don't want to sound morbid, but we can't have a 20-year plan. It just doesn't make sense for us, right?
Right, sure.
We can have a 1-year plan, 3-year plan, 5-year plan, maybe a 10-year plan, and that's great. It's all beautiful. We've all had great musical careers, and this is just the icing on the cake, I feel. This makes so much sense to come full circle back to Love Riot,
Love Riot's out on the 21st. Get down to Patterson Creative Arts Alliance, a place I love near and dear to my heart in Hollandtown. I say it right, Hollandtown.
Hollandtown.
All right, you want to do any sports with me? Because you said that you've been like a listener.
I have a theory about the Orioles not winning the World Series.
It's my fault?
No. Okay. I think I remember after they named Cal Ripken the MVP, I said the baseball guys weren't going to be happy because it should have been Eddie.
Yeah.
And we haven't won a World Series since, so maybe it's the curse of having the wrong guy as the MVP.
I don't know, man. I'm just chronicling it, and I'm just waiting for the tides to change.
We're ready. Yeah. I'm due. We're due.
On the baseball side, for sure. Football's been good to us.
Yeah,
football we've been
okay
with, right?
Yes, yeah. It's been great. Just, even this year, being a Ravens, I'll go to all the games, and people will say, these are the worst I've ever seen. I'm like, no. You weren't around in 96 and 97.
Yeah. I had Marvin Lewis on a couple weeks ago. We talked about that. How far this whole thing has come.
Yeah, had tough it out, And
where you're supposed to make the playoffs every year, and if you're 3-5, it's the end of the world when your quarterback's injured. So I will say we've been spoiled.
Yes. Yeah,
as local sports fans, football fans, not baseball.
Yeah,
baseball, we've been starved.
Hard,
but I'm not starving. We're out of here at Coco's Pub. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I do have some Raven scratch offs to give away. You get lucky 38.
Yay.
You got lucky 34 for Wild Bill Hagee because I already know you
I
got Memorial
that.
Stadium
yeah.
roots.
Yeah.
Love Riot is back. They're after it on the 21st. They have an album coming out. They're going to be playing down at Columbia on February 13th. So if you loved Love Riot, if you miss Love Riot, go see them. Lisa's here. Give Michael my best. I don't know the rest of the members of your band, but it's
Michael,
good to know you, Young Ron.
Mark, Young Ron.
Appreciate you. And if you leave the CDs, I'll record them down. Cassettes are a little more problematic.
These are precious. I can't play them, but I want to keep them.
I own an AM radio station, and we had cart machines, which were 8-tracks. They played all the commercials back in the day. So I still have a rack that's built for 8-tracks.
Wow.
I don't know what you stick in those things at this point. Because nothing sticks in an 8-track hole.
Yeah,
but
I can still hear songs where the 8-track would flip in the middle of it. And
Boston.
When I hear it today.
If you get Boston 1, it would always do that during a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Right during that guitar thing. It click.
Yeah.
And then it was.
I still hear it. Yeah.
It's been such a long time. All right,
so
Lisa's here. It has been
Nestor.
A long time.
Nestor, I want you to. You gotta
sing with your band?
Yeah, you got to come do something.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to get him on some backing vocals, man.
I like it. Yeah.
I'm serious.
I sang backing track on the Ravens' I'm a Raven Maniac song in 1996. That's my
See
claim
that?
To fame.
Very cool.
We can harmonize.
I got to give a shout-out musically here, and I'm not going to cry because I've been practicing this. My dear friend Eddie Lauer received a new heart last night.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. And if I talk about it, I'll start to sob and I'll be an idiot and I'll be a blubbering idiot. But he thanked me on his album. In his first, I found his album yesterday when he was doing the transplant. So I found some old pictures. And literally, I mean, they're on my phone. I put them up. And he played a party of mine. And I took pictures of the albums and the liner notes, and I put them up on my Facebook.
Yeah.
And I put them up yesterday, and I didn't read the liner notes. I just put them up. And I thought, maybe that's Ed's old girlfriend, and I doesn't want his picture up. Or it's 1993.
I saw and I the looked, girl on him.
The girl was on his lap.
Who is that?
It was at Pepper's Cafe where that picture was. I promise you.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know. I don't know who it is. When Ed comes out of this, I'm going to ask him. So...
Well,
I looked at
he might have another heart attack that you put that up.
No, so. He's got a new heart. His heart's perfect. He's going to be absolutely perfect. So I looked on, and I want to pull this up on my phone because this speaks to the power of liner notes. So I put a picture of Ed. This is my house on Kane Street with the pink walls. There's Ed's CD, Love and Loneliness.
Yeah,
and there's
I saw
Ed.
It.
That's the brick wall at Pepper's, right?
Yeah.
And then there's Ed at my party with my late great friend Doug Bennett, who was one of my dearest friends in music. And then I looked at the liner notes, and I looked literally in the liner notes this morning over coffee. Nasty Nestor is in the liner
notes.
The
last one.
And I had no idea even when I put this up that he thanked me in his liner notes in 1993.
Awesome.
And I'm like,
it's precious.
I thought it was only
Enough's
Enough and Child's Play. Yeah. And one other band thanked me in their liner notes one time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But that's a big deal to get your name in somebody. It means they love you.
No, it's awesome. Yeah.
You know, if my name was in. Maybe I'm in Beyond Words as liner notes. I should go check it out. I might be. Joyce
Maybe.
Might have done that.
Yeah, she might have. Probably.
Well, that's a big thing because you mentioned Sheryl Crow a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough last Thursday night, I flew to Nashville.
I saw that picture. That's
so
crazy. It's amazing.
Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
I don't idolize him. I'm not that guy. I've never even seen Vanilla Sky. I've never seen Say Anything. But Cameron Crowe, I was always compared to him.
Mm-hmm.
When Bud Becker would see me at Hammerjacks when I was 17 years old, mm-hmm. You remind me of Cameron Crowe. I'm like, who the hell's that? And nobody told me he was the Fast Times at Ridgemont High guy. That would have known that, right? And the Jerry Maguire guy, which I would know that. So Cameron Crowe has a book on his life that's come out, and I have been very compelled to his Almost Famous, that I was the 17-year-old music critic backstage with you when you were a grown woman in a band, and I had the notebook in front of you, and George and Michael and all of them, that I have this kinship with Cameron Crowe in that I had never met any other 15-year-old music critics besides him and me, literally, right?
Yeah.
So I decided to fly to Nashville to be a part of this thing. And you remind me of Sheryl Crowe in that she was a school teacher, mm-hmm. and you have this sort of motherly way about your storytelling and all of your milkshake years, I'm sure, that Sheryl Crowe was the perfect foil for him because she was like a school teacher asking questions. And Cameron Crowe's mother was a school teacher.
Oh, that's
so
great.
There's this whole thing that went on. So when you mentioned Sheryl Crowe
and
you mentioned like that kind of music and that kind of artist, that's the kind of artist you were.
Oh.
Like serious music person is who you are.
Yeah, I guess I am. It's what I do.
You're a lifer.
I'm a lifer.
Love Riot's back together.
Anyway,
go see them.
Please come see us.
Yes.
We would like to see you. So we miss our fans. It's going to be so exciting. I think the Creative Alliance show will be a big party. It's going to be great.
I got a button, so this is my backstage pass to let him
as
in.
As soon as we make t-shirts, I'll get you one, Nestor.
My thanks to everybody here at Coco's. I'm going to continue on.
Yes, we're going to go.
Marsh is coming on. I have Nancy Longo from Pure Point Restaurant coming by. So I have Chef Nancy coming by. We're going to talk food.
Yum.
We're going to talk crab cakes. We're going to talk neighborhood. We're probably going to talk old Baltimore because we like to do that as well. But a little music, a little rock and roll.
Yeah.
We did some sports with Greg Abel. We're out here at Coco's. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven Scratch-Offs to give away. It's been a lucky batch. I've already had a $20 winner. I had a $5 winner. Winner, winner. I felt like Oprah. You're a winner. You're a winner.
You're a winner. Everybody's
a winner.
I'm going
to be a winner because I'm getting some coconut shrimp, and I'm going to get a Greek salad.
No crab cake? Okay, I'm
sorry.
You've
had one or two, right?
You've already
had. I love the
Coco's. That was
breakfast. The Coco's crab cake needs no introduction.
Okay.
Everyone knows. Yeah. You're getting a crab cake?
Yeah, I got to.
You're getting a crab cake?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had the coconut shrimp here?
I have, yeah.
Unbelievable. Mm. Have you had the cream of crab soup here? Unbelievable.
No.
I'm going with that. And my wife, on the way out the door this morning, and I'm going to tell Marsh this in the next segment, I took her ribs home about a month and a half ago, which I've never done. I just wanted to do something different.
Yeah.
And taking a cheeseburger home doesn't make any sense. So
yeah.
I took ribs home, And her coleslaw is the best in town. Her mom's coleslaw recipe is my mom's coleslaw recipe. It's perfect. So I took the ribs home, and I sliced them down, and I went and I got some King's Hawaiian rolls.
Yeah.
And I did sliders. So I took her pork and her coleslaw, and I took little slider rolls, and I watched the Ravens game last weekend with that. And my wife was like, "You're going to bring some of those ribs home, right? Some coleslaw. We need to have that around here this weekend for the games." So I mean, it's one thing to talk about the Coco's crab cake. I mean, when you walk in the door, the first thing you see
are those giant,
it's like a
11 ounce
cake-a-ream around here, a crab cake emporium around here.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And they're as big as my head.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so I don't need to tell anybody to do that.
Nothing's as big as your head. Sorry.
See?
Had to get that in. Only kidding. You know I love you. No, stop. Stop. Oh, no.
I've had my feelings hurt.
No, no, no.
You know how hard it is to hurt my feelings?
Oh, no.
It's got to be harder than that. I'm tougher than that. Lisa's here. Young Ron's here. My thanks to them. I love the Love Riot, and I'm going to love my lunch here at Coco's. Back for more right after
this. Yay, let's go.